Good morning and welcome to Inside the Huddle. Inside the Huddle brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities of Clinton County. Sam Word alongside Kyle Etherington here on this Saturday, November 15th.
Thanks, sir.
We're going to talk a little basketball, a little wrestling, a little football today, a little bit of everything today on Inside the Huddle. We thank you for tuning in. If you miss any part of today's show, remember, you can watch Inside the Huddle on Hoosierland TV. You can also catch the Inside the Huddle replay Sundays at 7 o'clock right back here on WILO. You can find it online, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Click on the sports tab, then click on Inside the Huddle. Or you can find us on Spotify at Clinton or at Inside the Huddle and Casper Media. And we have our first guest on the line here in quarter number one, and we start our boys basketball previews with Corey Dunn for Rossville boys basketball. Coach, how are you doing today?
Good. Doing well. Thank you. How are you guys?
Well, we're doing well, and we're looking forward to preview some boys basketball. Your team lost in the sectional semifinal last year to a Clinton Prairie team that went on to compete for a state championship. But you come back this year, a little bit more experienced, lost a couple of key seniors, but what are you expecting from this year's squad?
We're really excited about the season. We've had a really good off season. It's amazing when sophomores become juniors or freshmen become sophomores, what a difference it makes. We're not so young and we're not so small like we've been the last couple of years. So I think things look good for us. It should be exciting to see how much we've improved.
Well, let's talk about the roster a little bit. And, of course, you lost a couple of seniors, and we talked about those in length at the end of last season. But let's talk about the guys that you're really excited for this year and some guys that you plan on leaning on a lot this year. Who are the names that fans should start to get to know for this season of Rossville boys basketball?
Well, I would first off say if they don't know Braden Teely Hahn, they don't know basketball in Austria. They don't know him already. So that's no surprise there. But like I said, it's probably the deepest team I've maybe ever had in 20 years. So, there's Lane Edmonds. Brody Skinner's back. He's stronger and quicker. He's worked on his game. He's our senior returning starter. Lane Edmonds, he's coming up from the JV. Big kid, super strong. He's had a great off season. My goodness, like I said, the list is long. And there's Cooper Dunn. I feel like he's had a great off season. He's gotten stronger. He's continued to be a leader for us. He's kind of in some ways it makes sense, but he's an extension of me on the court. Seems how he's lived with me his entire life. Then we got a new kid move in this fall before school started. Aiden Schomburg comes in from Lafayette. Great kid. He's quick. He's got a good shot. Another junior. Sorry about that.
You're fine.
Another junior. He's played. Played a lot of basketball, comes from a basketball family. He fits in nice. And then Andrew Wolin, sophomore, coming up from the JV. I expect him to play a lot of minutes. He's really gotten stronger. He's grown a little bit. Super, super quick. So brings a lot to the table for us. There's two seniors, Yuri Castorilla. He's coming up from the JV, another veteran kid for us, Hetty, shoots the ball well. And then Braden White, he's a senior as well, got some length, and look for him to be able to help us out in that department. Then there's Caden Skinner, another junior. Like I said, we've got a lot of a lot of players, and that's not even – oh, I didn't even say one that's been out for a couple days. Nolan Britt, another returning junior who started last year. I'm really deep. We've got another kid coming off a knee injury from last year, Cooper Mills. So, I don't know, the list is pretty long. The hard part is for me to figure out how I'm going to play and how many I'm going to play. So,
yeah, when you look at a squad like this, and, I mean, you look at the team that you had last year, and you didn't go very deep on the bench last year, and part of that was just the team that you had. It was usually seven or eight guys deep at the most. So you look at a team like this, and you just listed off 10 guys. Does that change your philosophy as a coach at all? And do you have to kind of mold the way that you coach around the specific team that you have?
A little bit. I think early on, you hope that you know what your rotation is. I mean, you see it at all levels of basketball. Beginning of the season, sometimes coaches are still trying to figure out who's going to produce when the lights come on. Friday night and Saturday night's different than Monday through Thursday. But I'm going to have to figure out how to have a rotation. I'll be able to get guys breaks. We don't have the drop-off that we've had in the past when we went to the bench. And a lot of that's because we're upperclassmen now. You know, of all those kids I've listed, seven of them are juniors, one sophomore, and three seniors. So, you know, it's a pretty veteran team. So for me, I've got to find a way to keep buy-in with everybody and find a way to keep us as fresh as possible. It's going to be an adjustment for me.
Coach, coming into last season, your main post player was Brody Skinner. Now, granted, if he was 7 feet tall, he'd be an Indiana All-Star and he'd be going first round in the NBA. But unfortunately, you know, he's around 6 feet tall and he still played, you know, much higher than his height would indicate. Now, coming in with Cooper Mills coming back from an injury, you've got Lane Edmonds coming in with some height. You've also got Aiden Schaumburg coming in with some height. Is Brody Skinner going to be moving out to the wing? Is he going to be playing a little bit more of a mid-range game? Kind of talk about how his role is going to adjust with all the height coming in this year.
One thing about it, especially at our level, height can be huge, but how you play is the biggest thing. You know, Brody Skinner, good luck finding somebody that plays harder than that kid.
Preach to that, definitely.
He works his tail off every single day of practice, and he will literally run through a wall for you on a Friday night. He is still what I would call power forward. His game is such he's best around the basket or setting screens and getting to the basket. He has worked on his ball handling and being able to get to the basket. It may change. I think the biggest thing it may change for him is on the defensive end. You know, and maybe instead of having to guard the 6'5 guy, he might be guarding a 6'2 guard because he's that type of player. He can guard at pretty much any position. So that might be the bigger difference on the defensive end with having some extra help. So.
And you talked about coming in from sophomores to juniors and from juniors to seniors. Biology can be a wonderful thing because one minute they're coming into practice, "Hi, coach, how are you?" And then the next minute, you know, it's like, "Hey, coach, what's up?" You know, so kind of talk about that in terms of the weight room, especially because I've seen a lot of young kids try to lift weights that they really shouldn't be lifting. Kind of talk about the weight program that Rossville has to go along with the biological changes that ultimately occur.
Yeah, more times than not, they're not physically ready to really start lifting till sometime in their freshman and going into their sophomore year. Now, we start them earlier than that, but it's more body weight stuff and development as far as how to lift. So we're not focused on pumping big iron when they're younger. Their bodies just aren't ready for it. But throughout their sophomore year is usually when we start to see the change. They start being able to lift more. Their bodies are accepting that. You can take a 130-pound kid and lift all day long, and you're not going to do a whole lot of good, probably going to do more bad than good, until their bodies are ready for that development when they start hitting that maturity. People will see this year we have hit that with the mass majority of our team, and we're going to look a lot different on the floor this year.
Want to shift our focus, talk a little bit about Braden Tillihanen. You mentioned him, and if people don't know his name already in the area, they haven't been paying attention to high school basketball. There we go. Well, what has been your challenge to him in this offseason? Because obviously he's a great player. He's got so much skill, and he's one of those guys that can lead a team. So what has been your message to him and your challenge to him to improve in this offseason?
The biggest thing is developing his weaknesses. He didn't have many. He was what I call a three-level scorer, last year, more so than he was his freshman year, and it showed he averaged right there at 19 points a game. He can get to the rim. He had a crafty way of finishing. His pull-up game exploded last year off the bounce. And then, obviously, he's been able to shoot the three ball well his entire career. But he will be able to finish through contact this year, unlike ever before. He has really worked hard in the weight room. He's usually the first guy in there in class and the last guy to leave. And you will definitely see a big difference in that. So I feel like he's even a better three-level scorer, which is really hard to get in high school basketball. But he's grown a little bit, and he's definitely put on some weight and some muscle. So his ability to score has went up tremendously, which is saying something considering he was averaging 19 points a game last year.
Absolutely. For you, Coach, it's your 12th season coming up, and you've won a handful of sectional championships. Your last one came back in the 2020-2021 season. You've won games in sectional each of the last 4 years, but you haven't been able to close it out. When you look at this season, what is different about this team that can maybe get you over that hump again?
I think confidence is a big thing. Especially the last couple of years, really the last four, ever since that 21 team graduated, we kind of unloaded some really key players. And then from that year on, we got to three sectional championship games in a row, but every year we were losing some major key players. This year is the first year coming back where we're not losing as much of that. We lost a couple key players, but when the mass majority of your team was juniors or mostly sophomores last year and one junior, I think their confidence level is going to be higher, their experience level is higher. So, I think that bodes well. Instead of feeling like, I think we can, I feel like our mentality is we need to be the team to beat. So, hopefully that's the case. We got a long way to go. We'll keep working on the toughness department. That's something we're constantly preaching. So we'll see.
And Coach, not to put any added pressure or anything like that, but Thanksgiving getting very, very close, which means opening night just a little over a week away. I'm sure nobody in the Dunn household is counting down the days until that night as well. We're also counting down because Rossville versus Delphi at the Hive is going to be on Hoosierland TV that night. What can people expect to see from not just your team, but also Delphi this year? And what do you see for the Hoosier Heartland Conference at large? Because a lot of changes throughout the conference with this past offseason.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good players that graduated out of this conference. I still like – well, first let me say Delphi. Delphi's a really good team. They are scrappy. They play quick. I think that opening night is going to be an exciting one. Two teams that get after it, push the ball. you know, they've got a lot of guys back. They lost a couple key players as well, but they still return a decent amount. And they got size, quick guards. So it should be a really good matchup. You know, it's a rival school just up the road, so you know, the environment should be great. Then as far as the conference goes, I think in some ways it's probably a little bit more open and less people chasing Clinton Prairie this year. You know, they unloaded a really good team, and they got a lot of good players back as well. But those three kids that graduated last year were pretty dynamic. And then obviously Sheridan was a really good team, and they unloaded several key players. But us and Taylor, I feel like, have the most kids back from two really good teams. We had two really close games with them last year. But, yeah, I think the conference is strong. There's going to be some great matchups throughout the year in it. Scheduling is going to be key. Staying healthy is going to be key. Because really any given night, most of those teams within the conference can have a really good game and make it tough for anybody to win.
And oftentimes in sports, we kind of break up the season because usually we're starting with some non-conference games, and then we get into conference play, and that's when we feel like, man, the season's really heating up. It's not the case for you guys, because you guys start some conference games right away with Delphi, then you move into a stretch of non-conference games before getting back into it with Carroll in a doubleheader on December 19th. But how do you kind of break up the season for your squad, and you know, this is where we want to be at certain points, and obviously we got to take it one game at a time, but there's got to be some way you break up the season, maybe this first half and the second half or something like that. What do you do, and how do you communicate that to your team?
You know, I think for us, it's one day at a time, like you said, one game at a time, but you're constantly working towards that end of the season. Conference is important. You know, we'll have the Kitchen Classic there in Christmas time, but you want to be playing your best basketball, obviously, into February. So for us, you know, we spend, you know, we're doubleheader weekends pretty much every weekend most of the season. Most of our conference games are on a Friday night, so we will spend a ton of time on our conference teams and then focus on us on the following nights as far as making sure we're getting better. And it's a long season. We don't really try to chunk it up too much. As far as kind of what you're saying, I get what you're saying, but for us, it's just a matter of constantly improving and making sure we're healthy, continuing to make sure we are the toughest team mentally and physically in how we play, you know, heading into March. So, I mean, that's kind of how we approach it.
And I'm a Oklahoma City Thunder fan, and I love the way that their coach talks about just finding different ways to win, and you put your team in different situations every night and just see what happens. What's your philosophy as a coach and just trying to get your team into different situations just to see how they react?
Yeah, there's, you know, I think that's one thing that's going to be nice about us this year. In the past, you know, we maybe had one, possibly two guys that were kind of capable of carrying the load, maybe offensively, so to speak, and defensively as far as that goes. But I feel like this year, finding other ways to win, whether it be a game where it's a grinded out game or a super up tempo game, or if you know you got to have that big defensive stop. I think we have more guys now that can do that. And so it'll be interesting to see kind of how that unfolds throughout the season. Like you said, finding different ways to win. You know, you have injuries, you have foul trouble, those types of things. And our bench was not very deep the last few years. So this year it might come from a lot of different people at times.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you spending a little time with us on this Saturday morning to talk about the Rossville boys basketball team, and we're excited for that November 26th game against Delphi to open off the season. That is our season opener for boys basketball on Hoosierland TV, and I'm sure you're just as excited as well. And we'll catch up to you throughout the season on Inside the Huddle, but we appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Kyle. We're counting down the days. We're looking forward to kicking off the season.
There we go.
Thank you, Coach.
And that'll do it for quarter number one of Inside the Huddle with Rossville basketball coach Corey Dunn. We'll be back in just a minute with quarter number two. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Healthy Communities and Winsky Brothers.
Whoever said size doesn't matter hasn't been to Winsky Brothers. Hi, this is Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers, inviting you to check out our new 70-foot truck scale. That's right, 70 feet. It's practically a landmark, making it easier than ever for you to get in, get out, and be on your way. Why? Because customer service isn't just words. It's 70 feet of promise. Check it out for yourself at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort, or visit WinskyBrothers.com. Winsky Brothers, because size definitely matters.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
Back now on Inside the Huddle for quarter number two. Sam Wirt and Kyle Etherington. We caught up with Rossville basketball coach, boys basketball coach Corey Dunn in quarter number one. And we'll talk to Austin Faulkner, the wrestling coach over at Central, coming up in quarter number three for quarter number two. Plenty of high school football action last night and a couple of local teams in action. Sheridan fell to South Putnam 26-6, ending the Blackhawks season. They were the last Hoosier Heartland Conference team alive. And then on the other side, Lebanon fell to Fort Wayne Bishop Dwenger 37-29, and ended their season in that regional round. But there was some really good games on last night, and I was just kind of taking a look at some of the games. There was one game, not necessarily our coverage area, but some teams that we're familiar with, Lafayette Jefferson and Concord in a 5A regional battle. And this game was crazy. I don't know if you had a chance to look at any of this game, but there was 23 points scored in the final minute and 56 seconds.
That's a fan's dream and a parent's nightmare and a
coach's nightmare
and a
too.
Coach at man that, so, that that's yeah that's worse than a nightmare, man.
38-31 Lafayette Jeff with a minute 46 to play when Concord scored a touchdown to make it 38-38. Lafayette Jeff scored in three plays, 80 yards, a touchdown in 26 seconds to make it 45-38 with 1:20 left. Concord went right back down the field and scored with 46 seconds left to make it 45-44. They went for two to try to take the lead, and they did not get it. So 45-44, Jeff was on top with 45 seconds to go. Concord still had all three timeouts. Jeff goes three and out, punts the ball back. Concord gets it and hits a 48-yard game-winning field goal as time expires to win 47-45.
Oh, my gosh. I can just see parents standing up. I can see parents throwing things down, fans pacing. I can even vividly remember during a Tipton regional when I was a kid, I didn't care. I mean, I was 12 years old. I didn't know what was going on. So I ran to the restroom, or I ran to see if the concession stand was still open. And there were at least five or six people underneath the bleachers just, they couldn't watch it. Like they were peering through the stands and everything like that. So, yeah, I couldn't imagine being in that type of environment, especially with that long of a field goal in high school football. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Another some fun stuff going on last night. Knox took on Angola. Knox quarterback running back Miles McLaughlin.
Superstar, athlete.
Yeah, athlete is what you can call him. Mm-hmm. Not only did he break the single-season rushing touchdowns record, he inched closer to that national career rushing yards record I think he had over 340 yards last night. He needs about 320 to break Derrick Henry's high school rushing record. I mean,
wow.
We're talking about the Derrick Henry that went to Alabama and plays in the NFL and is one of the greatest running backs in the league right now.
Yeah.
And Miles McLaughlin is on pace to break that record in a 28-21 win. And not only does he do all that, runs the ball every single play, gets 300 yards. He had a game-winning interception to seal that one over Angola last night.
Nice. I love it. And speaking of Derrick Henry, thank you as an Indianapolis Colts fan to the Tennessee Titans for letting him get away, too. I could send a fruit basket to Nashville every week for that wonderful thing. So that'll be interesting to see how he does going forward. I'm going to venture to guess he's probably going to break that record.
Well, we're all rooting for him.
And yeah.
He did just get an offer from Ball State, which was good to see. And so we'll root for him. But it's fun to see. He's not necessarily in our area, but the national media attention on Indiana high school football is always good to see.
Right. Well, I saw something on Instagram yesterday that said the year of Indiana, talking about the Fever, the great run that they had without Caitlin Clark in the playoffs. Talking about the Pacers going to the NBA Finals, how good the Colts are doing, how good Indiana athletics is doing, not just high school, but also college. So it's the place to be right now. It's giving me kind of visions of the mid-90s when Reggie Miller and the Pacers were really starting to get good, and then you draft Peyton Manning. So the fact that Indiana athletics and Indiana high school sports are as competitive as they are, it's very exciting. And as you were saying, Ball State, that made me remember Damon Bailey was at Ball State yesterday. Head coach of the Ball State Cardinals, Michael Lewis, played for IU as well. So the high school atmosphere, if you get an opportunity, if you're a youngin', make sure you go to YouTube and check out Damon Bailey playing in the Hoosier Dome for the state championship many, many, many years ago. 40,000 people seeing a singular high school game, getting an offer from Bob Knight and IU when he was in eighth grade. So definitely check out that video if you're a youngin', or if you're a youngin' at heart, too, because it's a pretty exciting game.
There you go. Well, we did our first high school girls basketball game this week in Clinton Central versus Frankfort, and it was a dominant performance for the Bulldogs, and they won 48-3 in that game. And give us just a quick recap of what we saw, and it was all Carly Davison, 19 points. She finished with 5 or more rebounds, steals, and assists. I would venture to say she was close to a quadruple-double, but didn't see the final exact stat line. But great performance from the Bulldogs to win 48-3 over Frankfort. And they will be back in action at Pioneer coming up next week. And then we'll have them back on again on the Hoosierland TV Game of the Week next Friday at 7:30 as they take on Carroll at Carroll for a really good early season conference battle between Clinton Central and Carroll, two teams that were a big part of that conference race last year, two teams that brought a couple of really good players back. So I'm really excited for that game next week.
Yeah, Carroll's got a really talented group coming back. They lost a couple of key players, but they're not rebuilding, they're reloading. Had a very impressive win against Taylor. Taylor beat Eastern last night by 2. I think it was like 50-something to 50-something. Correct me if I'm wrong. But Carroll went against the Taylor Titans and won 70-8. So Clinton Central and Carroll, that's going to be a fun game to watch. Definitely be sure to tune in on Hoosierland TV, because that could be not just a conference determinant, but that could also be a matchup we see later on in the year when we get to the postseason too. So they're going to see each other once, but it might not be the only time that they see each other. So definitely keep your eyes and ears to the horizon, as they say, and definitely be watching these great student athletes that we've got in this area.
Yeah, it was that Eastern Taylor game, 54-52. Taylor was the final score, but yeah, Carroll looks really good. Clinton Central looks good. Carroll is 2-0, and They will play a game against Faith Christian and North White coming up next week before they take on Clinton Central. The Bulldogs 3-1, and they have another game before they take on Carroll. So next Friday, 7:30, we'll have that game on Hoosierland TV. And then a couple more games, and we're off to our boys' basketball season over between Delphi and Rossville. So that'll do it for quarter number two of Inside the Huddle. Stay tuned, quarter number three. We've got head coach Austin Faulkner on the line coming up in just a little bit. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities.
You know, at Winsky Brothers, we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take our customers seriously. Whether you're hauling scrap metal, shopping for new or used steel, or need one of our roll-off waste containers, we're here to help. Sure, we're kind of famous for that giant 70-foot truck scale, but what really matters is you, our community. I'm Jim Byers, and we're grateful for your trust, your business, and even your jokes when you stop by. From all of us at Winsky Brothers, thank you. Find us at 751 West Washington Street, or online at WinskyBrothers.com.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit HealthyClintonCounty.org.
Here's the WILO Skywatch weather forecast.
Your Saturday forecast, mostly cloudy and breezy. We'll see a high of 69. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 36. Sunday, fall temperatures return with sunny skies and a high of 50. That's your Skywatch weather forecast from WILO. Real-time weather radar 24/7 at Boone, Clinton, and Carroll County. DailyNews.com.
Back now on Inside the Huddle for quarter number three. And Inside the Huddle brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities. We thank them for their generous sponsorship and us being able to do what we do every Saturday morning and keep you updated on what's going on in local sports and wrestling season just about to get underway. And we have Clinton Central wrestling coach Austin Faulkner on the line. Coach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you?
We are doing well. Well, Coach, let's talk about the team this season, and it's grown tremendously. Have a really big squad, and it's going to be a really talented squad this year. So tell me about the off season and the team you've got coming up.
You know, these kids have put their work in. We have 10 seniors coming back this year. I'm really excited for them. And, you know, they put a lot of work into our youth program. They've helped out as far as, you know, being camp coaches and club coaches, and that shows because our numbers, you know, we have 30 high school boys right now, and we have 4 high school girls, so we're pretty excited about that. But it should be, you know, should be a pretty good season.
Well, let's talk about some names that fans should kind of get to know, and guys that you're expecting to have really great seasons, and you've had some success over the last couple of years in conference and even in sectionals, but who are you expecting to have some really strong seasons for your squad?
You know, Levi Jacobs has really worked his tail off in all athletics. He's a great kid. He has a work ethic that is unmatched, and I think he's really focused in. Caleb Griffey is another young man who's a sophomore. He was a regional qualifier as a freshman last year. Again, a great work ethic. Dwayne Harvey, also a regional qualifier last year, ended up with an injury, but is back and completely transformed and very motivated. Looking for big things from some young guys. Got some freshmen coming in that are pretty talented with Keaton Canaday and Tanner Matthews. And you know, I've got a sophomore heavyweight, Colin Mooneyhan, big, strong, athletic kid. You know, we're just full. We're full of some pretty solid athletes.
Well, when you have a bigger team like this, how do you make sure that, you know, everyone gets involved, stays involved, and gets those reps that they need?
Well, myself and the other coaches, with Colton Menon and Matt Menon, Michael Griffey and Taylor Evans, and now my wife, Corey Faulkner, we split them up into small groups, and we
do like station rotation. We get as many reps as we can get with as much, you know, different technique as we can do in a given practice time.
Talking with head coach Austin Faulkner of Clinton Central Wrestling. So let's talk about the schedule. When does the season kick off, and what are some big meets that you're looking forward to, and when can fans kind of stay tuned for those?
Our first meet is December 3rd. We'll travel down to Lebanon and wrestle them, and then we will move on up to North White that same weekend on December 13th. Oh, I'm sorry, December, what is it, 6th maybe? And then we host our own on the 13th, and the season kicks off. We end up with about 28, 29 duels on the year, so when it's all said and done.
Obviously, you have to take the season day by day and kind of break it up that way. But when you have a big team like this, do you look at, you know, obviously injuries are going to be a part of it, but do you look at where can I get this guy in to wrestle at this weight class in this match, and where can I do, how do you kind of plug and play those types of decisions?
You know, we do wrestle offs, weekly wrestle offs, to see who's going to be our varsity guy for that particular week. And there's rules and guidelines for those things. But if, you know, if we've got an injury or whatnot, you know, right now we're in a great situation because we have so many kids that we take the next guy up and we plug and play. And they know their expectations, and they go out, and the good thing about our kids right now is they're not afraid to work. They're not afraid to go out and be competitive.
Coach, one thing that I especially enjoyed last year of all the things we covered on Hoosierland TV was covering the conference wrestling championships at your place. And we've talked a lot about the new gym, the new lighting in there. How does that translate to you as a wrestling team? Granted, it's mostly the basketball that's going to see the greatest effect just because of the new court and stuff like that. But kind of talk about what that has been able to do for your guys with wrestling, especially with the opportunity to host conference in that gym.
You know, that's of course, that's an old gym, and I grew up there, and, you know, the changes going on, they're exciting. Our kids are excited about it. It's a lot brighter in there now.
Yeah.
You know, they painted everything solid white. You know, we're fortunate enough that we got a spotlight just for wrestling. So whenever we have dual meets, we'll shut all the lights off and turn the spotlight on, and it's just over the mat. So, you know, we're trying to do some creative things to make it interesting and to keep our kids excited.
You're getting them ready for the state finals and going down to Gainbridge as well. Mind, body, spirit, everything. Now,
yeah,
how it has that got the guys fired up? Now, granted, I'm sure they're going to run through a wall and everything, but what specific things have you heard from the kids as far as doing stuff like that, like the spotlight?
Yeah, like I said, they're excited about it. You know, you know, wrestling, I mean, I heard your talk right before I came on about, you know, basketball and the talent that we have in the state right now. And, you know, Indiana has historically, traditionally been a basketball place. And, you know, wrestling hasn't got necessarily the limelight over the years. And when you can make it special like that for these kids, that means the world. And they're super excited about it.
One thing that I especially like about the state finals is they've got that spotlight, they've got the music in the background, and granted, your form of wrestling is much different than the WWE that I watch on Monday nights. Beyond belief how angry some wrestlers get, even when I'm kidding them about that type of stuff. That being said, adding those elements of WWE, the music being played in the background, kind of getting yourself fired up, that type of things. What type of music do the guys really like listening to? Because during a wrestling meet, match, you've got individual wrestlers walking around. They look like they're just psyching themselves up like Muhammad Ali before a big fight. So do you have to give your guys a pep talk? Do you let the music do the talking? How do you approach that with your guys during a big competition?
Usually we'll do a lot of our warm-ups in our wrestling room and keep it kind of private. And if old coach is in there, then the stereo's playing what I want.
Yes.
Love
it.
But I don't, once they go out into the gym, you know, and they get their earbuds in or their headphones and, I don't know what they're listening to. I don't care what they're listening to, but when we're, and we play the stereo all the time. So like all through practice, and a lot of times when they're younger, they think it's just because I want to listen to music, but it's more than that. It's, I learned from an old coach of mine, to have the stereo playing during practice. They learn to focus on just you, on just your voice. They have to tune everything else out, and they can just hear you.
Well, you talked about, you know, the talent coming up in wrestling in Indiana, and this area has kind of been kind of a talent hotbed over the last few years for wrestling. And you look at what Rossville has been able to do with Noah Weaver and going on to Purdue, and Purdue's got a good wrestling program, and there's a multiple other schools, high schools in this area that have great wrestling programs, and you are building a great wrestling program as well. And you talked about how many guys you have coming out for the team this year. What do you attribute that to, the success we've seen recently in the area for high school wrestling?
I think it's the commitment from the coaches and the commitment from the families of these kids to see the bigger picture. It's not just about wrestling. It's about producing, you know, very disciplined, hard-nosed young men and women that when they move on, when they graduate and they move on, that you don't have to worry about them, that they're strong enough that, you know, they'll be able to survive on their own. And because they're going to be faced with hard things down the stretch. But it's the commitment. And there's coaches that are willing to put in the hours. There's kids that are willing to put in the hours. And there's families that are holding their kids accountable and holding coaches accountable. And that's why you're seeing the success that you're seeing.
Yeah, and it's been fun to see from our perspective, but I have to imagine that it's really fun to see from the coach's perspective as the interest around wrestling grows. And I mean, you're seeing the evidence of that with how many kids you have coming out for the team this year. But the interest grows, and with that, the competition level just continues to rise, and the kids get more competitive, and the talent just continues to go up.
Absolutely, absolutely. This particular group of seniors have not only worked hard in the room for their own program, but they've also, like I said, helped with the elementary wrestling club, which we started a handful of years ago and only had four. Matter of fact, this senior class was the first group as fourth graders in that club, and there was only 14 kids. And last year, we had 72 elementary wrestlers.
Wow, so, that's awesome.
And it's because of these kids. It's because of these high school kids that put their time into it.
That's great to hear, and just a testament to, like you said, these seniors and what they've put in, the time, the effort they've put in, and you know that those elementary kids are looking up to them and hoping to be in their spot one day. And I want to shift our focus now to a little bit more light of a subject. And there was some interviews that happened that were posted on the Clinton Central Athletic page, and with Athletic Director Nick Burlingame. He does the Athlete of the Hour, and those are really fun to see. But he interviewed both you and one of your wrestlers, Dwayne Harvey. And there was a little bit of a controversy. So he asked both of you, you know, could you beat Coach Faulkner in a wrestling match? And he said yes, but then he asked you the same question, and you said you would win. So when is this match going to happen, and when can we air it on Hoosierland TV? And are you doubling down? Are you saying you could beat Dwayne Harvey?
Well, I don't know that match will ever take place.
I was going to have public, it catered.
At least not publicly.
Close circuit.
Yeah.
he's a good kid. He's a good, strong kid. I'm glad that he's that confident. You know, but I'm at that age now that I don't know if I need to prove myself, and I think that Dwayne knows the truth.
there we go. Well, we hope
Coach,
he's
listening. Coach, I'm checking DraftKings right now. You're doing pretty well in the Vegas odds, my man. I'm telling you, this could be pretty, you know, good little fundraiser, I think.
Yeah.
So
if it only went like 30 seconds, maybe.
Okay.
there we go. Well, speaking of fundraisers, you guys have a pretty big one coming up, and I was talking to someone about the fundraiser, and it's kind of a good one. If people want to win a fun prize, you got a raffle coming up. Talk a little bit about that beef raffle fundraiser you have.
Yeah, we go buy a half a beef. And we split it into quarters evenly, and then the club purchases two 7-cubic-foot freezers, one for each quarter, and then we raffle off, and each ticket you get, you know, two chances to win a quarter of a beef. And we've done it in the past with the elementary club, the whole wrestling program, all the way up to the seniors, and it's done very well for us, and we've been able to purchase some, you know, singlets, uniforms, and warm-ups, and even a couple of wrestling mats. So it's done very, very well.
If people are interested in getting tickets for this raffle, how can they do that?
They need to see some of the parents of our wrestlers.
There we go. Well, I know one particularly in Melissa Jacobs that is already offered to sell me some, so hopefully I am the winner of this quarter of beef and freezer.
I was going to say, I'm salivating on the mic right now. I got to wipe it off a little bit. That sounds good.
That sounds great. There we go. Yeah. Well, if fans want to kind of keep track of your guys' success this season and how your team is doing and how the matches are going, what is the best way for fans to follow along and keep track?
We have a Facebook page. It's called CC Wrestling Supporters, and usually our results and photos and whatnot all get posted on there. Of course, Coach Burlingame does the Sports U app, and he posts all of CC's results on there, and then, of course, our school athletics page also on Facebook.
Well, there we go. That's how you can stay tuned with Clinton Central Wrestling this year. Coach, we really appreciate you joining us on this Saturday. We look forward to that opening match December 3rd against Lebanon.
Awesome. I appreciate it.
That's Clinton Central Wrestling coach Austin Faulkner. That'll do it for quarter number 3 of Inside the Huddle. We're coming up quarter number 4. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Healthy Communities and Winske Brothers.
Did you know the Man of Steel works in Frankfurt?
Superman?
No, Jim Byers from Winske Brothers. Winske's is famous for their new and used steel sales and scrap metal processing. They also offer roll-off waste removal, and now they're continuing their improvements with new computer software to have you in and out faster than Superman can fly.
Faster than Superman?
See for yourself at 751 West Washington Street or visit WinskeBrothers.com.
Winske Brothers, the superheroes of steel.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, quarter number 4, if you missed it. Quarter number 1, we talked with Corey Dunn of Rossville Boys Basketball, previewed their season, and they will be the first game for boys basketball on Hoosierland TV on the Game of the Week, our season opener, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, Wednesday, November 26th. It is Delphi at Rossville. Should be a great game, so we'll have that one on Hoosierland TV. In quarter number 2, we recapped some high school football last night and talked a little bit of girls basketball. And then we just caught up with Austin Faulkner, the wrestling coach over at Clinton Central. You missed any part of today's show, you can listen to the Inside the Huddle replay Sundays at 7 o'clock back here on WILO. You can go to Hoosierland TV and watch the archived episodes. We're streaming live on Hoosierland TV right now. So if you want to watch us here in studio, you can watch Kyle do whatever he does during the show. And yeah, you might have some fun doing that. You can catch the archived episodes on ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Go to the sports tab, click Inside the Huddle, and you'll find all of the recent episodes that we've done. You can also find us on Spotify, Clinton County, or at Inside the Huddle and Casper Media on Spotify. So plenty of ways to connect with the show, and you can follow Hoosierland underscore TV on X. You can also follow Kyle or myself on X, and just tweet us out if you have questions that you want us to talk about on Inside the Huddle. But plenty of ways to connect with the show, and we thank you for listening. We thank you for tuning in for all of these Saturday mornings where we just get to talk a little local sports, and we've talked some girls basketball, so some other girls basketball going on over the last couple of weeks. You had a chance to watch Rossville take on Western Boone this week, and your first look at the Lady Hornets. They had a delayed start to the season because of the success of their volleyball team going all the way to semi-state. So what did you see from Rossville in the game that you watched against Western Boone?
Well, in the second quarter especially, Rossville's three-point barrage ballooned what seemed to be a relatively close game into a 20-point rout. And granted, Western Boone made a comeback. They cut it down to 12, but then Rossville was able to, you know, take care of business. But I would venture to guess that Coach Jacoby probably had the young ladies not taking any shots outside of 15 feet for probably the first hour of that next practice, because you live by the three, you die by the three. But if Rossville's three-point game can be as successful as what I think their dribble, drive, and penetrate game is going to be this season, look out. They're going to be a team to be reckoned with. And today, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how their matinee performance against Fountain Central today is going to shake down, because Fountain Central coming in with a perfect 4-0 record, and Rossville going to be facing a very good test at home, too. That's a way to open up your home schedule.
There we go. Fountain Central at Rossville coming up in a couple of hours at noon. You said it, Fountain Central undefeated. They beat Clinton Central earlier in the season by 11, 46-35. That was on Tuesday. But Fountain Central is a really good test for Rossville, and it's interesting. We talked about this last year, but Fountain Central kind of played all of the local teams, and it was before conference season started. It was our first kind of look at, okay, this, they've all played a common opponent now. We can kind of see. So not only is it a good test that way, but it's also a good team. It's undefeated. And you play at home on a Saturday matinee. So how can your team get up, get ready, and take on a really good squad?
Well, that's number one. You got to get up and you got to get ready, because on Saturdays, it's kind of the opposite of what a lot of the kids are used to. Now it's, you know, it used to be like middle of the week, like on a Tuesday. And then you got those Friday, Saturday night doubleheaders that have kind of become more commonplace. Whereas when I was growing up, back in the late 80s, early 90s, that was typical. You have the Saturday matinee, and then usually that night you go to the boys' game, is how the scheduling worked out. So if you can get the kids into kind of a rhythm a little bit, that's good. Keep everybody relaxed, really chill. And one thing that is an added benefit is that if Rossville has any plans of postseason play past the sectional, they're going to have to go up against a quality of opponent in Fountain Central, because the winner of Rossville sectional plays the winner coming out of Fountain Central sectional. And last year, we all know it was Lafayette Central Catholic going all the way down to the state championship. So this is going to be a very good test for not just the Mustangs, but also for the Rossville Hornets, because you got to be able to compete against the higher quality clubs. And if I can steal a line from Ric Flair, to be the wool man, you have to beat the wool man, so to speak. So
there you go.
It's gonna be a good test for both teams today. It'll be a good matchup.
That's Fountain Central at Rossville coming up later today at noon. If you want to check that game out, Clinton Prairie's playing later tonight. home against Benton Central at 7:30. Delphi is in action today as well at Twin Lakes. That one's coming up at noon. And then on Monday, Carroll will play Faith Christian and Clinton Central at Pioneer, Rossville at Delphi. A nice rivalry matchup to start conference play on Tuesday. That's November 18th when Rossville takes on Delphi. We're already halfway through November, and girls basketball season well underway now. All the teams have gotten started, and we've started our Hoosierland TV coverage, and boys basketball is about to start. Feels like just yesterday we were packing up to head out for the first football game of the year, and now we're on to semi-state round of football, and basketball season's underway.
Other than the weather, I think football has been an exciting season. Granted, we've had a lot of blowouts, but it's really showcased some superb talent that we had. So definitely a hats off to all of the football players. But basketball in Indiana, there's just nothing like it. But what I like is how we get to cover the boys and the girls for basketball, but also the wrestling and the other sports from around the area too, giving everybody their props, because we've got a lot of talent in Clinton, Carroll, and Boone counties, definitely, that people need to check out. And if you're looking for a high-quality evening out with the Mr. or the Mrs., or just your friend who's a Mr. or Mrs. or whatever, go to a high school basketball game. Go to a wrestling meet, because I think you'll be surprised at just how exciting these games are for no more than $5 a piece,
right?
Too. That's the most important thing.
Exactly. Exactly. You can also, if you want to see our Hoosierland TV Game of the Week broadcast schedule, you can go to ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Just search for broadcast schedule or something like that, or scroll down to find that broadcast schedule, and we'll keep you updated on the games that we're doing every week. And
this Friday will be a good one.
This Friday, Clinton Central at Carroll for our girls basketball game of the week. So don't miss that one. Well, now it is time to get to our college football picks. And I'm giving Kyle some homework. He's going to go back and see the total records of our college football picks.
No.
So to see who's on top. I think it's Kyle. I think he's winning right now. But we will just kind of have to wait and see how everyone's doing. We got three games to pick from
today. Here we go.
We're doing an ACC game.
Okay.
ACC in quotation marks, because it's Notre Dame.
Notre Dame's in that one, right?
Right.
Man.
And then a Big Ten game.
The Atlantic Coast, geography.
Right. The Big Ten game and an SEC game. So we'll start with the Big Ten game that I actually think is going to be really close. I think it's going to be a good game. You got a great defense. You got a really good offense. It's USC and Iowa. Who are you taking in that Big Ten matchup?
I'm taking USC. I love USC. And if I didn't take USC, my dad would come back from the grave and haunt me. So I'm going with the Trojans.
Well, Kyle's going with the Trojans. And if you know me, I'm a Notre Dame fan, and I could never pick the Trojans. I like Jordan Maiava and Mekhi Lemon, the quarterback-wide receiver duo for USC. But I am taking Iowa in a slugfest. Give me Iowa 19-17. There's my score prediction for that.
I'm not doing scores. I got that IU one by 10. That is the last score I will ever predict in my lifetime. That's it for me on that.
There we go. Another ranked matchup. This one, College Game Day. Notre Dame versus Pittsburgh. Who are you taking in that matchup?
I got to take the Irish. As much as I would love to root for Pittsburgh and my favorite quarterback of all time before Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, I got to go with the Fighting Irish today. Sam, who are you going to pick in this very difficult decision for you,
Very difficult decision. I don't know if you saw, there was an interview with the Pittsburgh coach. Kind of surprising for me. He said, you know, it's not an ACC game, so I don't really care. We can lose by 100.
Shut up.
He said that.
Come on.
And
it's Notre Dame.
Pittsburgh is in the playoff hunt, and their coach just said he's okay if they lose by 100. So I will take Notre Dame by 100.
I don't believe him for a second. The last Crossroads Classic, you had Butler, Purdue, and IU all in the same stadium, and every single one of those fan bases could agree on one thing, They didn't want the Fighting Irish to win. I don't believe that for a second.
There you go. And finally, our SEC game, number 5, Georgia, home against number 10, Texas. Arch Manning and the Longhorns or Gunnar Stockton and the Georgia Bulldogs? Who are you taking?
Gunnar Stockton, man. Got to. Georgia Bulldogs at home. Texas has had a good season, but hasn't kind of lived up to, I guess, the billing, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with the Georgia Bulldogs.
You look at Texas's schedule, I mean, a loss to a Florida team that's not very doing very well in conference play.
Yeah, they've had a rough season.
They did beat Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma didn't have their quarterback, John Mateer. They beat Kentucky by 3. They went to overtime against Mississippi State, and they beat Vanderbilt by 3. But you know what? Mm-hmm. Arch Manning has had a handful of games under his belt.
Yeah,
I think he's figuring it out.
True.
Give me the Longhorns.
Oh,
over the Bulldogs in an upset fashion.
Today.
I think we're going to mix some things up in the SEC and see what happens.
The ground game isn't working, so we're going to put the ball in the air.
There we go.
If we will.
So there are our college football picks of the week. You can watch those games and track it with us. If you have picks, you can tweet them out and add us at on Twitter, and we'll repost that and see who ends up 3-0.
I was going to pick Coach Faulkner as well too, but you know, if the students want to donate any money to the cause, I would be willing to negotiate my pick on that wrestling match too. That would have been a good fundraiser too.
There you go. That'll do it for this edition of Inside the Huddle. We thank you for joining us for another edition of Inside the Huddle. Remember, you missed any part of today's show. So many ways that you can catch up with the show. Clinton County Daily News, Hoosier Land TV, on Spotify, and Inside the Huddle. So find the show any way that you can. Thanks for supporting the show, and thank you to Healthy Communities and Winsky Brothers for all the support that they give us. That'll do it for this edition of Inside the Huddle. For Kyle Etherington, I'm Sam Wirt. Saying so long, everybody.